I'd like now to welcome Nathan Newcomer. He is the Associate Director of the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much, Mary Show. It's good to be back on.
It's good to have you here by phone rather than in person in the cafe, but that's all good because something has happened which is newsworthy, which is that there was a major court decision that reversed Bush administration energy policies on public land. Tell us the story.
Okay, well, this is absolutely huge news, as you said. Last week, on the 27th of April, the United States 10th Circuit Court of Appeals issued a decision that invalidated the Bureau of Land Management's oil and gas drilling plan for New Mexico's Otero Mesa. We were not expecting this. This was a huge surprise. And the way that the court basically lambasted the BLM was very shocking. To see them use such strong language, basically telling the BLM they need to go back to the drawing board and start all over with their drilling plan in Otero Mesa. Basically, what happened was the court ruled that the BLM's original resource management plan, which guided oil and gas operations, opened up the vast majority of Otero Mesa oil and gas leasing and drilling, but it limited protection for the desert grasslands. The court found that this document was fatally flawed due to its failure to consider protection for Otero Mesa and the Salt Basin Aquifer.
So this is very interesting. Is this change in course? I mean, it's not an Obama administration thing. It's a judicial thing, presumably with judges that were sitting there while the Bush administration was in place.
That's correct. It has nothing to do with, you know, Obama coming in or the Secretary of Interior of the Department of Interior, Ken Salazar. I think, though, that there you do see with the change in the administration kind of a shift in the ideology. Things with the Bush administration were rigid and, you know, just kind of one-size-fits-all approach. Really, that doesn't work, as we've seen in many, multiple different cases, not just on environmental issues. But it is interesting to see that the court did say what they said, and again, it's such a harsh tone against the Bureau of Land Management, telling them that the court did not have any confidence in the BLM's plan to actually protect the Salt Basin Aquifer. I mean, they said they could not in any confidence accept their reasoning for moving forward with drilling. Another component that we saw that the court said the BLM needed to fix was that the BLM did not have an alternative in the management plan that was a no-leasing, no-drilling alternative. For many years, we'd heard the BLM say, our Otero Mesa plan is the most restrictive, environmentally sensitive plan we've ever developed. And as a multiple-use agency, we have to allow development because that's what multiple-use means. We can't just protect the landscape. But the court said in its documentation that multiple-use requires management of the public lands and their numerous natural resources so that they can be used for economic, recreational, and scientific purposes without the infliction of permanent damage. So it is past doubt that the principle of multiple use does not require the BLM to prioritize development over other uses. So that's pretty profound to see the court saying, basically, the Bush administration wanted to make oil and gas development the number one priority on all public lands over the values of wilderness, water, and wildlife. And the agency was following those guidelines, but the court is saying, nope, you can't do that. And this whole argument that you used in the past is completely flawed, and you got to go back to the drawing board.
Do you expect that this case will set a precedent in other similar cases?
I do, in fact. I think that you'll probably start to see a lot more of other court decisions coming out from the Rocky Mountain West with very similar outcomes, I think. Depends on who the judges are, I suppose. But the BLM was doing the same processes in Otero Mesa, you know, with, you know, going full steam ahead with oil and gas development in many other parts of the Rocky Mountain West. And a lot of those plans, like up in Colorado with the Rome Plateau and Wyoming, the Jonah Field and Montana's Rocky Mountain Front, oil and gas development was being pushed forward, and you had a lot of groups, you know, like the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance and citizens and states and governors getting engaged in this process and saying, hey, wait, hold on, these areas are really important, and we can't just do this one-size-fits-all strategy. So I think that we'll probably see some more court decisions coming down that might be similar to this one in other parts of the Rocky Mountain West, but it's just too early to say, and, you know, we're just hopeful. So it's really exciting here in New Mexico. I about fell out of my chair when I found out the news. It's been a great, great past week.
We're talking to Nathan Newcomer of the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance. So you mentioned a piece of language just a moment ago that I think is very important, which is permanent damage. So whatever development takes place or whatever activities take place on these public lands cannot cause permanent damage. In making this case, did the conservation side bring examples of permanent damage that was done by oil and gas drilling in other places?
Absolutely. And we also argued a lot about fragmentation of the Chihuahuan Desert grassland habitat. The Bureau of Land Management had no plan whatsoever that we were ever given. They said they had one, but they never showed us. How would they actually reclaim and restore the grasslands once they were, you know, over and, you know, grouted up and they put in their rig, well pads and power lines and pipelines and all that stuff? And they said they couldn't. They said they had a plan, but they couldn't show us what that was. And so we had a lot of experts on the ground. Dr. Walt Whitford is a grassland scientist, PhD from New Mexico State University, who went out to Otero Mesa and said, you cannot develop this place in an environmentally sound manner. There's just too many things going on. Number one, there's not commercial seed available for black grama grasslands. Number two, you have something called wind erosion. If you pile up all the caliche layer, which is the topsoil, basically, and throw it into a big mound to blade with all these new roads and well pads, the wind is just going to blow all that stuff away. And if you've ever been out to Otero Mesa, it can get pretty darn windy out there. So that was another key component. And so we used a lot of science, and we argued a lot of science. And we also said there's just not enough information known about Otero Mesa. I mean, it's been out there for millennia, and hardly anybody knew about it until we got into this campaign. And so now we're just starting to compile all these biological inventories. I went out there 2 weekends ago, and we did a 5-mile loop hike on one little mountain out there in one canyon, and we found 150 species of different plants. I mean, that's unbelievable to find that diversity in such an area. And so you really got to take things slowly and be prudent. And I think the Corps is recognizing that and telling the BLM, if you're going to move forward with oil and gas development, you need to do a better job of analyzing the impacts. And you also need to include an alternative that does not open this area up to drilling, because development is a possible use, which the BLM must weigh against other possible uses, including conservation to protect environmental values. I mean, that's something that the BLM must do, and the court told them they had to go back and do that.
How did this court case come to be in the first place? Was there a lawsuit brought against the BLM?
Yes, there was. In 2004, the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance led a coalition of about 10 other conservation organizations and joined with the state of New Mexico. We filed a lawsuit against the Bush administration, the Bureau of Land Management, on their resource management plan for Otero Mesa. And it's important to note that that was the first time in New Mexico history that the state actually sued the federal government over a public lands issue. So that was pretty profound and very, you know, a milestone to be reckoned with. So that occurred back in 2004. The judge at that time, this was here in the Albuquerque District Federal Court, he primarily sided with the BLM and said that the BLM followed the law in terms of producing their plan, but he recognized the value of Otero Mesa as an ecological jewel. He said the grasslands are very special, they're very fragile, and the salt basin aquifer is another resource that needs to be taken carefully into consideration when, you know, thinking about any type of development. So the judge in that court case said that the BLM needs to do site-specific analysis, environmental analysis, before approving any new wells to be drilled in a specific area. But for the most part, he said, this thing is right. The BLM had the law on their side. They did everything properly. So we appealed. And that was, you know, that's 5 years later, basically, that this appeal came out. And again, like I said, we were just completely shocked and floored by the outcome of this decision.
Talk for a moment about the BLM. Does the Bureau of Land Management have a culture which leans either toward or away from conservation or oil and gas development, or are they pretty much neutral and just go with whatever the administration tells them to do? What's going on there?
Well, as a federal agency, they should be neutral, and they should be doing what the administration is telling them to do. But the guidelines that they follow, this whole multiple-use argument, that is in their mission statement, you know, the conservation values and also developing and leasing the land for the public to utilize for various resources, whether it be grazing. There's not much logging on the BLM land, but, you know, oil and gas development, mining, recreational permits. And so that is incorporated into the BLM's mandate to manage the land. But I think that again, with the Bush administration, they were so focused on oil and gas development and really, you know, dealing with lots of dirty money going around with lots of different oil companies, that kind of, in a way, might have corrupted the BLM to a certain degree. And just a lot of spirits were down at the agency offices. Science was neglected. In fact, it was ignored. You know, there was a case in Otero Mesa where there was an awful model falcon, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service had written a report saying this area is really important for this falcon. Well, then, you know, 3 months, 4 months later, after that letter was reviewed by the Bush administration, the Fish and Wildlife Service came back and retracted everything that they had said. So you see that there's a lot of power going on within that administration to push on that oil and gas development. And I do think that since we do have the Obama administration in there, there's a lot more listening going on to the people who are actually on the ground in the states and individuals that are being impacted by these development proposals. And so that might have something to do with it. But the BLM is a multiple-use agency, but I would like to see them do a lot more preservation work than just constantly leasing lands for development. I think we're probably going to be seeing the agency head down that path in the coming years.
We're talking to Nathan Newcomer of the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance. I think that we're moving, at least in the public consciousness, away from an attitude toward conservation that says we should protect the cute little bunnies and Bambis and all of that, to a more kind of systemic approach to looking at ecosystems and their importance and the interactivity of all the different species on them, including us, and how important that interactivity is for human life. Talk about Otero Mesa in that regard.
Yeah, it's a great way to put it, Mary Charlotte, because when most people think of like a wilderness area, they're thinking of like high alpine lakes, mountains and meadows, a huge forest with streams and trout and elk running around. When you look at Otero Mesa, a Chihuahuan desert grassland, most people just drop the bat or just kind of like, okay, you hear the word desert, now you're thinking to yourself, it's probably just a barren landscape. But there is a new mentality moving around in the country, I think, and people are recognizing the importance of fragile landscape ecosystems like the Chihuahuan Desert. Most of the Chihuahuan Desert ecosystem is gone. I mean, it's been plowed under. There's cities growing there. It's been grazed to pieces. So Otero Mesa is kind of like a haven, basically a sanctuary, a Yellowstone, if you will, of the Southwest that does harbor a lot of different wildlife species, and people are starting to recognize the importance of these wildlife species. So it's really encouraging to actually work on a campaign like this where you can take people out to an area and show them the immenseness, just the vastness of a place like Otero Mesa. And they can say to themselves, yeah, there used to be places like this all over the North American continent, but I haven't seen one like this ever in my entire life, and I probably never will again, and that's because they're all gone. And so that alone raises people's awareness to say, yeah, maybe I should be doing something about this. I should be getting involved because if this place is gone, it's going to be gone forever, and we've got to do the right things and take the right steps and strides now to make sure that we can preserve places like that for future generations.
Is there the possibility or the push toward making Otero Mesa a wilderness area, which is the highest possible level of protection?
There are active steps being taken right now to permanently protect Otero Mesa, yes. And we have been obviously pursuing those for the past 8 years. It's just that we've had this thing called oil and gas development and the Bush administration in front of us preventing that from happening. So now that we're kind of in a position where oil and gas development is off the table until the BLM comes back in with their new management plan, which could take years, to be honest with you, we are actively working with the congressional delegation and with local communities in the area to get some type of formal designation out there. We have been working with the BLM on establishing a ACEC, which is an Area of Critical Environmental Concern. It's just an administrative designation. But if the agency were to accept the ACEC designation for Otero Mesa, that would begin to push the agency into the realm of acknowledging the vast importance of this ecological area. So an ACEC would be a nice first step, and then a nice second step would be either getting like a national conservation area designated and just working off of that, continuing to build the support for permanent protection of the area, which could be either wilderness areas or even, you know, something as far as a national park or national monument. I mean, you've got Carlsbad Caverns National Park just on the other side of Otero Mesa, and then on the north end, you've got White Sands National Monument. So in a way, if you actually designated Otero Mesa as something that high magnitude, you could really have three amazing areas right there next to each other that could act as a economic engine for those local communities.
I think that it's important to emphasize what you've been talking about, which is that almost all wildlife habitat in the United States of America is gone. 95% has been built on in one way or another, or divided up in such a way that it no longer provides for habitat for animals and other species. And that is very scary for all of us, not only the animals.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't remember what the old Indian Cree saying goes, but if you eat all the fish, if you pollute all the waters, you know, you're going to have nothing left. And it's such a true tale. Most people are just connected to their daily lives, you know, sitting in your office space, you know, or driving, watching television, and not really understanding the connection that the planet Earth is all we've got. And we really got to take care of it, because if we don't take care of it, everything that we cherish and everything that we love is going to be gone. I mean, there's no reason for us to be here anymore if our planet is broken and dismantled. So, yeah, I mean, it's so true that the entire world has just been plowed under. We've utilized it to death, and we're starting to see those impacts with global warming, with, you know, coral reefs dying off. And so this whole mentality, just this shift, needs to occur, and I think it has occurred. We just got to get more people engaged and get involved in this willingness to protect more land.
Oil and gas development creates problems that we have discussed on this program and that are readily available in terms of the real destruction that is caused to land. But we all need energy, and we need to heat our houses and cook and drive around and things like that. Has there been any discussion of, for example, having a solar energy generation from that area?
Well, I got to be honest with you. If the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance, our number one mission, right, is to protect and preserve wilderness. We are not an organization that fights the oil and gas industry on a day-to-day basis. That's not what we do. That's not our mission. And so if we are working to protect Otero Mesa because it has the largest potential wilderness left in the state of New Mexico, it's over 500,000 acres of that area, it's eligible for wilderness designation. So that's why we're engaged in this battle. If someone were to propose a massive wind farm or solar energy development on Otero Mesa, we would fight that tooth and nail just as hard. Because we're not out here to really stop oil and gas development. We're out here to preserve the last remaining wild places. Now, that being said, we obviously do advocate for renewable energy development, you know, conservation principles, green building. I mean, our office is a LEED certified building. So we're walking the walk. You know, we're not just talking about this. We're actually doing it and finding constructive ways to do it to help these places like Otero Mesa. So we would oppose solar energy development in Otero Mesa specifically, but there are areas down in the southern part of the state that are adequate and are suitable for solar energy development and wind development. So we keep a close eye on those places because there's obviously other areas in the part of the state that we work on that could be impacted by those projects. So it's kind of a slippery slope in a way. You know, we want to preserve places and we want to increase renewable energy so we can wean ourselves off of fossil fuels. But at the same time, you just got to be a careful balance to where those developments and projects are moving forward. And I think that the agencies get that. And I've received phone calls from other independent private companies who do windmill and solar power projects. And they've called us and said, hey, we're thinking about doing these projects. Are these anywhere near areas that you're working on? Because they don't want to get in a fight with us. And quite frankly, I don't want to get in a fight with them either. We want to find that common ground. So just communicating and being open and listening, I think, is just the keys to the successes here.
Nathan Newcomer is Associate Director of the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance. They can be found on the web at nmwild.org. Nathan, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Mary Charlotte. Thank you so much. And just if I could say one final thing, This win on Otero Mesa is for everybody. Everybody who's participated in this campaign, it's because of folks like that and like you for helping me get on the radio and spread our message. Thank you so much, because we should all be celebrating this together.
Thank you, Nathan Newcomer.
Take care.
I'm going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll be speaking with Craig Childs, author and naturalist. Stay tuned to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.